I think Cuny would kill me.
I'll just sit in here.
Okay. Do you have the questions?
I do.
Just start from the beginning.
You start us off.
Okay, so Mr. Edmondson.
Hey, we should introduce him first.
This is Mr. Edmondson.
No.
Restart that. Come on.
What's up, YouTube?
No.
Okay. So, what do you want me to say? This is
introduce
Mike Edmondson, science teacher here at Millard South. Okay, so Mr. Edmondson.
He's more than that.
How did you end up at Millard South?
That's a good question. How did I end up here? Well, I'm in my 23rd year here, so whatever I did worked. I'm a Millard South graduate, 1989 graduate. Go Indians. All right. I got inspired by, we call him Pride Time, but back then it was homeroom, Mr. Skinner, who ended up going to Millard West when Millard West opened, but he was my homeroom teacher, and inspired me to get into teaching. And Steve Skinner is an amazing individual who's known around the physics community here in Nebraska and even nationally, and he still is a mentor to me to this day. But kind of got me thinking about teaching, and I like science. I was by no means a stellar science student. I like science, and so went to the University of Nebraska at Omaha to pursue a teaching degree, and just kind of fell into it. Right before I was able to student teach, I had actually the previous astronomy teacher, Murray Lorenz, who also ended up at West when it opened. I met him in a bar, and he's like, "Hey, you need to student teach." I'm like, "Yeah, can I come back to Millard South?" He's, "Yeah, you come student teach with me." So I put the application in, and it was the spring before Millard West opened, and so he found out that he was going to Millard West, so literally I fell into the spot.
Were you in the military before
all this? I actually joined the military in 1989. I started my senior year into the National Guard and went to a semester of college, took a semester off in 1990 to do my basic training and my schooling, and then came back and continued with, I got tuition assistance, so it made it really, really worth college paid for. I got pretty much paid for through the Nebraska Army National Guard. So I took a semester off to get trained, but from that point on, then it was 1 week in a month, 2 weeks of summer, you know, what they say in the commercials.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you said Mr. Skinner was, was he primarily physics?
He was a physics teacher here in Millard. That's all he taught was physics. And this is before he even had AP physics. But he's one of those teachers that you will never forget that I love Steve. He's a great guy. His hobby right now is he rents time on internet telescopes searching the skies for little projects he does. This last one with the solar eclipse is he did something with the spectrometry of the solar eclipse to prove the gases and stuff present in a star simply by renting telescope time and using a spectrometer. That's his hobby.
Yeah.
That's what he does for fun, you know. So Steve is on a level I'll never achieve intellectually, but being that as smart as he is, he brought physics, he brought life down to the classroom. Amazing, just amazing.
Okay, so like that was your main interest too, was physics, right?
Like just science. I like science. In fact, I don't tell many people this, but I was into rocks.
Oh, really?
I actually have a natural science degree with an emphasis in geology.
Okay.
And so I was not so much of the physics realm. I really liked the space, the geology, that kind of it. Even in college, I hardly took any astronomy. I took one class at UNO, and I think I got a C because I didn't go every day. But it's kind of one of those things, hey, you want to teach? What do you got? Astronomy. All right, I'm learning it now.
I see. So, because like, if you were to do rock, like if you were to teach about rocks here, would it just be?
Well, it'd be earth science.
Okay.
So you'd be looking at, you know, volcanoes, earthquakes, the structure of the earth, those kind of things.
Yeah. So, like, would it be a separate class where we have now?
We used to. We used to have back in the day. You know, 20 years ago, all of our courses were semester based. So you took a semester of biology, and then. Which was required, but then you had to have at least one physical science and one other type of science. And it could have been astronomy. It could be zoology. It could be earth structure. It could be botany. We had cell biology. We had about five or six other courses we don't even offer anymore.
Oh, really?
So you basically just had a smorgasbord of stuff to put together of interest. There was a weather course. So
okay.
I took the required course, but I also got really into earth structure. I got into weather, the earth sciences, as they call them.
What was it that caught your interest? Was it like what in general or what specific area of that?
Could be, you know, I grew up, I spent a lot of time in Colorado, grew up on the western side of Nebraska, Scotts Bluff area. So my family always went to Colorado, and the mountains, the rocks, just earth science in general has always been a great interest of mine. I kind of fell into astronomy, and astronomy now is it's a hobby and a passion. I'm part of the Nebraska Space Ambassadors Program, so I get to work with NASA every year. I go to work someplace. This year we're going to Kennedy Space Center, and we're actually putting on with Kennedy Space Center an educators conference for 300 teachers across the country, and all those experiences of seeing how things are put together in the vehicle assembly building or going to the mock-up of the International Space Station. I get to do all the behind-the-scenes stuff that people walk the catwalk and look down through glass windows. I get to be on the floor. We get trained in new things to do in the classroom. That has made astronomy so much more fun, and I've brought that back to the room where, you know, the other day we did, I call it on target, where they had to figure out engineering-wise how to drop a marble on a cup sliding down a zip line onto a target in between, which was mimicking, NASA did what is called the LaCrosse mission a couple years ago, where they were looking for water on the moon, and they literally used a satellite to drop another satellite, crash it in the moon, and looked at the plume that was ejected up, look at the chemical traces in that plume for evidence of water on the moon. So we did something like that in class. That's an activity that I got at Kennedy Space Center and I brought back, and it makes not just learning, because we got our district curriculum, but this is something I can add that makes you feel, you know, this is what engineers and astronauts kind of do, kind of thing.
I always see you out in the hallway, like, doing interactive stuff with your students. Would you say you got that from your old teacher?
A lot of the stuff I got actually is from being a part of the Nebraska Space Ambassadors Program.
Okay, sure.
And basically what this program is, it's through UNO, and each state has a, what do they call, space grant program. For Nebraska, they choose to bring teachers in, and there's a core group of 12 of us that are in this group across the state where we go and do training, and we bring back training to our students, but I also train teachers. I help teachers in small districts that don't necessarily have an astronomy curriculum, introducing things that they can do to their students to build not only astronomy but STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, build STEM across the board, and to build interests. And so, you know, like many universities actually keep that money at the university level for research. Nebraska's chosen to use it to get teachers involved, which gets students involved. And I'm able to bring those experiences to my students. And not only mine, I just developed, there was a lesson developed for, it's called Blue Marble. It was a NASA-developed lesson. And then I ended up printing $300 worth of satellite imagery to teach it here at Millard South, to teach this lesson. And I'm like, a small school can't afford that. How can I take this very lesson, digitalize it, so a teacher could take just a laptop and teach their class with it? And I built that over Christmas break. I took this lesson. The overall premise was a NASA-based lesson, but made it a Millard South version, and now I have a teacher at a couple different schools testing it out. So that, because, you know, for a small school to print $300 to $400 worth of pictures, not probably going to be in their budget.
Yeah.
But now, through a platform, can they do the exact same thing using a laptop?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I built stuff like that, and I just got involved, and I was building it actually for Women in Aviation International, who was asking our NASA group to build them some space-based curriculum. They had a lot of aviation, but they wanted to get into space as well. How are some activities that they could build, that they could do with their community online? And so it was a little project I did. So I'm kind of proud of that, you know, and people will send me like, hey, how do you change this and make it better? And I'll tweak things here and there, but no, I want to get space education out to everyone, you know. Yeah. I broadcast when the launches are throughout the building and stuff, you know, so other teachers can maybe hopefully zoom in. This Falcon Heavy launch, that was a big deal because we haven't launched something that size since 1972.
Oh, really?
So that was – so what Elon Musk and SpaceX is doing is build – he said in his interview, he wants to build public interest again in going to space. You know, everybody's always worried about it costs too much. But I read a quote, and I can't think of where the quote was from, but the basic premise of a quote was, if we stop exploring, don't we also stop growing?
Yeah.
Meaning exploration leads to discovery. Discovery leads to invention, leads to doing new things, finding new things, building new things to do something. And I think that's the premise is we've explored most of this Earth. Space is our next frontier to go out. Can we do the moon? We can't right now go to the moon. If we want to go to Mars, the moon's a stepping stone. So how do we do that? We got to rebuild everything. The Apollo program is done. It's been gone since 72. Technology has changed. So I like what Elon Musk is doing and the fact that SpaceX is making space more relevant for the common person.
Yeah.
And so that's why that heavy launch was so important.
He sent up a car or something.
Yeah,
right?
He set up his red
publicity?
Tesla Roadster. Well, they needed a payload for the test. So they designed a way to carry the car inside as the payload, and it really was just a test payload.
Okay.
Obviously, if you can afford to shoot that kind of payload into space, money's not an issue.
Yeah.
But that's all it really was a test payload to see if they could do it.
And it was playing David Bowie.
It was playing Rocket Man. In fact, the camera batteries died, so we'll get no more images. The goal is to orbit the sun, and the last I've read is they had one final burn and they overshot their trajectory, so it's going to go further out, not quite to the asteroid belt, but it's going to do a large ellipse, which is basically a big oval, with the ultimate goal of circling the sun. I don't believe there's any way they can get the car back. Like if the car's coming home, it's like going to burn up in the atmosphere, come home. There's no plan to recover it. And I've read that it's around March of 2021. It's supposed to make its closest pass to the Earth as it orbits the sun. Something like 28,000 miles, to give you an idea. The sun is 93 million miles away. So at – sorry, did I say 28,000? 28 million. So at 28 million, you're looking at it, it's going to be about a third of the distance between the Earth and the sun.
Okay.
So that's – it's fairly close.
Yeah. And then, wait, how fast can they get there? Did you say
it's
2021?
2021 is going to make a – remember, it's going out towards the asteroid belt. Now, it's supposed to circle back a little before Mars. It was never intended to orbit Mars.
Yeah.
But now they overshot it, so it's going to go a little bit further out than they thought. So they thought the next time it'll be closest to the Earth would be right around March of 2021 as it makes its pass back towards the sun.
So that's some distance. So if there were ever a time when we had to go to Mars, how long would that take?
From what I've read, and I haven't checked on the new, most recent numbers, but I always talk about it's roughly a six-month trip.
Okay,
all right?
Really.
But the problem is, and you have to understand, when we have SpaceX, we have Blue Origin, we have Virgin Galactic. These are all companies, private companies, doing space exploration. We've privatized it, and everyone's like, that's so new. No. If you look at how the Saturn V and the Apollo missions, they are private companies working on government contracts. All we're doing is we're turning near-Earth orbit and some exploration over to these private companies. And the government, NASA, is focusing on deep space exploration now. Their goal is to go to Mars, okay? So their goal, and Bob Cabana, last time I was at Kennedy, we met Bob Cabana, who's the director of NASA. Their goal is to put someone on Mars and bring them back home. And I say that because there's a group out there that wants to go to Mars, and it's going to be a permanent – you're going there and you're staying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't it like 5 years ago they came out with that?
They're doing a selection process for the astronauts.
Yeah.
So Bob Cabana has basically said, when we do this, we got to get the person home. It can't be a one-way mission. Well, you have to understand, if you look at orbits, when we launch for Mars, Earth is going to be approaching Mars when we launch. all right, to shorten that distance.
Yeah.
So to come home, we got to wait for Earth to go back around the sun and come back towards Mars.
Yeah.
So the trip is estimated to be between 18 months and 2 years for round trip.
Okay.
Okay. So it's that's getting someone home.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I would say that's more important is we can't have a one-way mission. I'll leave a little skeleton on the surface.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But
that'd be crazy.
Yeah, that would.
Even if someone wanted to do that, you don't think
they
would ever do that? I mean,
I don't think it. You're really talking about we don't have the technology to get there and stay there long term yet.
Yeah.
So you're asking a monumental task right now. I don't keep up with the group used to be called Mars Underground back in the 90s. I believe I think the director of Mars Underground was Bob Zubrin or something. And I've heard and seen reports that he's still out there. I don't know if he's doing this new piece. I don't know if Mars Underground has just changed their name. I don't keep up with them at all, but all I know is what you guys have basically heard is there's a group that wants to send a group to Mars, but it's a one-way trip.
Yeah.
They would buy time. They would buy – one of the ideas is they would buy passage on a Falcon 9 or probably this Falcon Heavy, meaning something bigger to get deeper into space. They'd buy passage on a ship from one of these companies. But again, right now the technology is not 100% proven. You look at Starman, you know, he was supposed to circle back before he got to Mars. Now he's going past Mars towards the asteroid belt because they miscalculated something and the thrust they did took it further out.
Okay.
I mean, the math behind all this, I mean, the math of trying to land
precise.
A booster,
yeah.
Not only on a solid ground, but trying to land it in the ocean, the math behind that is amazing.
Yeah, that is insane. Okay, so... making a complete jump just because time, I guess.
Yeah.
Track 2018.
Track 2018.
What are you looking for this year that we can do better than last year?
Than 2 years ago, we didn't score any points at state for the guy's side. Last year, we were able to kind of start getting it back. This year, I want to see us be competitive again at the state level.
Yeah.
I want to see. And I think our men's team is going to be young. Our women's team is going to be strong. We were
yeah.
runner-up
yeah.
by half a point and like a point and a half. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. we've graduated some really strong female athletes and, you know, trying to rebuild that piece too. So I think both the boys and girls are going to be young.
Yeah.
On the girls' side, that's a good thing sometimes because some of our best runs on the girls' side are when they are younger. On the guys' side, hard part about men's athletics is developmental. Guys take longer to develop, to
yeah.
get up to that speed and strength that they need to compete at the guys' level.
Mm-hmm.
So being young, I think we're going to be more competitive. I've had definitely more talk on the short sprint side from people in the school that want to come out. We've had a young man move in from the Burke area, moved into Miller South Attendance, and ran varsity track for Burke last year, obviously. We have a couple move-ins that are going to really impact our speed piece right away. So being competitive at the 4x1 relay and the 4x4 relay is a priority for me. We're not going to be a short sprint school. We never will be a short sprint school. But getting some of that speed back, especially in the 400, getting the horses running again, in the 4, the 8, and being competitive at the distance events, those are all crucial things. And I see that for the guy side, a good developmental year where we can be competitive. On the girls' side, I really think we have some new young talent that might really help us reload. Obviously, we lost one of our best athletes in the school, J.C. Stenson, tore an ACL in basketball, and that's you're talking about a young lady who can probably score in 4 events at the state level.
Yeah.
Obviously, on the girls' side, that's her, but J.C.'s going to come back next year as a senior, and she's going to be right there, and we're really excited for that. Filling in her shoes again, we really hope to see, you know, some young talent really step in. And even on the guy side, getting that young talent to step in and let's be competitive. Let's compete.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd like to say, you know, get back for the guys, get back to that top 10 type finish on the guy side. I think our throws are going to be definitely stronger this year. And I think we can place in the throws. Time will tell. But really just being competitive. I like to shoot for that top 10 finish of the year, where people recognize Miller South as a good track and field school.
Yeah, hopefully some vault too.
Yes, yes. If we don't get those vaulters 14, 15 feet, we're gonna have to fire our vault coach, right?
Really? 14-4.
14-4
is a state record.
So.
All right. Yeah, well, so, thanks a lot for your time.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Glad I could help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I think I have a
here. Yeah, it is.